listening to Dark Air.
Dark Air with Terry Carnation. Episode 9, The Haunting of Emily's Hair.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Welcome to Chapter 9 of the audiobook, Dark Air, the Terry Carnation Story. I'm Terry Carnation, as you know, and this is the audiobook of the book of my phantasmagorical life, as you also know. I like to welcome you to each and every chapter as if you're a guest in my home. Of course, this isn't really like you're a guest in my home, as, for all I know, your shoes are still on, and you haven't brought me a host gift, as is custom. However, speaking of guests, I woke one morning to find myself a guest of Dr. Elizabeth Franklin, a.k.a. KSB's highly rated and, frankly, when it comes to sex, somewhat overrated advice host, Dr. Lizzie. Our coupling occurred after I valiantly saved her life from a sword-wielding madman and excellent guest, it may be said, the night before. To say that I was surprised to be in such a situation would be a gross understatement. Emphasis on the word gross. Good morning, Dr. Lizzie. Or should I say, Dr. Lusty?
Right. Okay, that happened. Time to go, Terry, and just feel free to repress this memory right alongside all of your humiliating junior high school wins.
Wow, this place is incredible. The bed, the thread count on these sheets is astronomical. The bay window's a reading nook.
The door. In fact, why don't you go outside and see what it looks like from the other side?
Hey, whoa, what's the rush? Aren't you gonna buy your paramour some breakfast?
Terry, last night was obviously a mistake, so let's just never discuss it again.
A mistake? I mean, yes, it was a mistake on my part. I was on drugs. My idiot therapist prescribed me some drugs that clearly had the unintended side effect of not finding you exceedingly unpleasant. But, well, you just clearly wanted to have sex with me.
What? Listen, I had been in an extremely stressful situation, and then you rescued me, and I... Never mind, let's just agree to...
I'm sorry. Hush. I didn't mean to lash out, lover. Let's do a little post-coital snuggling, What was that?
That was me gagging.
Oh, you probably just need a glass of water. Or grapefruit juice. Do you have any grapefruit juice?
Terry.
This place is so nice. What are you paying rent?
It's the pool house, Terry. It came with the main house that I own.
Wow. Your pool house is nicer than my whole pool house. Can I stay here today?
What?
I mean, if you're going out anyway or over to the main house quarters or whatever, can I just...
Terry, you need to leave and never come back.
Good. Okay. Well, counterproposal. What if we have sex one more time, I make you breakfast, and then I stay here rent-free?
Do I need to call the cops?
Forget the sex. It was underwhelming anyway.
Your side was.
Counter-counterproposal. You make me a key, I come and go as I please, as long as I want, and I'll repaint the wainscoting. It has seen better days.
Terry, listen very closely, because I'm very serious. Get out of my fucking house, and if you breathe a word of this to anyone, I will get my own sword and slice off what there is of that thing you call a dick.
Okay, fine. After I take a little dip in the pool. I mean, this is the pool house.
Terry?
Do you have any men's trunks?
Get out!
I'm going.
Now!
Fine.
Normally, post-coitus, one feels especially virile and celebrates one's manhood with a stein of grog or a trip to the Psychic Eye bookstore on Ventura Boulevard.
But I had my weekly court-required therapy session, which was just as well as I had a bone of the less desirable kind to pick with the so-called doctor. So after foolishly taking on a government-trained, sword-wielding terrorist who could have very well disemboweled me on the air and having intimate coital relations with my arch-nemesis, I think, Dr. Keston, you at least owe me an answer. What in the name of Westeros did you prescribe me?
Terry, I'm so sorry. It was a mild sedative, the kind that millions of people take every day. I just don't understand how you could have had that kind of reaction. Did you follow the directions exactly?
Well, mostly exactly.
Mostly exactly?
Look, I took the prescription you gave me down to the pharmacy as instructed, and I gave the pharmacist the prescription as instructed, and he told me without insurance it would be $190. So instead, I went to MacArthur Park, and I showed the prescription to some guy named Marco, and he told me I got those same pills right here, Holmes, and they're the shit. The guy was named Marco. The pills were called Jose, or Blue Jose, or Blue Kisses, or something with blue, or Jose, or kisses in the name. Anyway, I can't remember. So he gave me those pills, and I took them. So basically, yes, I followed mostly exactly the same instructions.
So let me just make sure I understand this. Instead of getting your legitimate prescription filled, you drove yourself downtown to purchase illegal blue or Jose-like drugs from a park guy, causing you to act in a whole new and yet still manic manner, and yet you're blaming me for the outcome. Let's take a look at why you think that's an appropriate response.
Well, you could have written on the prescription, don't take any drugs from the park.
Terry, I think it's essential to your growth that you own what happened yesterday. Do you see how all of this could have been avoided for $190?
I could buy a ghost scanner with a spirit box and EVP recorder for $190, I'll have you know, and a whole lot of Blue Jose kisses, which, I will admit, were the shit.
As if my appointment with Dr. Keston, one filled with blame and little to no praise, wasn't harrowing enough, my next appointment was to be at a Starbucks. Starbucks, that infernal dispensary of caffeine and false hopes. But alas, my young ward Jeet chose the spot, and as he was treating, I could hardly argue. And besides, the choice of location turned out to be quite fortuitous.
Excuse me, miss. Over here, can I get a refill, please?
You have to get up from the table and go over to the counter.
But you're right here.
That's not how it works. Also, I'm not holding a pot of coffee. This isn't Denny's.
Am I on another planet? Is this not a coffee shop?
You have to go to the counter so they can charge you.
Charge for a refill?
Did you get here in a time machine?
Like I'd tell you if I had. Jeet, what is this place?
Oh, Terry, I told you, it's a star... Never mind. I can't wait anymore. You just continue. So, you and Dr. Lizzie, what happened?
Right. So I drove Dr. Lizzie home, and we ended up having coitus.
Shut up! That's unbelievable!
I know, right? My penis, her vagina, both membranes throbbing with incredible urgency.
Oh, God.
Miss, can you do that someplace else?
It's a lot to picture.
Oh, do you love her now?
No. I do, however, love her pool house.
Oh, but do you think she loves you?
Yes, of course. Oh my God, Jeet. Do you know who that is? That guy over there?
Which one?
The one with the floppy brown hair and the scraggly beard and the smirk.
Oh yeah, it's Dave Grohl.
No, it's not whoever that is. It's legendary Canadian-American filmmaker Jason Reitman.
Oh yeah, the Juno guy. He knows Dave Grohl.
Oh my God. This is it. This is my big break. Hold on to my coffee.
Oh, you can just leave it on the table. He's gone.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah, hey. Hi.
I know who you are.
Uh-huh.
You are Jason Reitman.
Can I help you?
Son of the legendary Ivan Reitman, director of blockbusters.
Yep, That's the parenthetical on my driver's license.
That's good. That's good. Jason Reitman. You know, actually, funny story. I knew your father.
Oh, do you work in the biz?
In a manner of speaking. More in the... I'm in media. Yeah. Well, radio. I host a radio show, a paranormal call-in show. It's called Dark Air with Terry Carnation, and I'm the host.
Wild guess. You're Terry Carnation.
Ah, you've heard of me. Excellent. Well, long story short, one of my listeners threatened your dad's life because he was convinced your father had stolen the idea for Ghostbusters from his actual spirit world encounters.
I actually remember that happening.
You remember the lawsuit?
Oh, I remember the security guards that moved into our garage.
Right, it was scary. I bet that must have been terrifying.
Oh, I remember that guy. But the ghost he met was named Slopper.
Ah, yes. This is my producer and fan, Jeet.
Biggest fan.
Clearly.
Terry is a genius. More than a genius. I mean, he is a pioneer, a vanguard. Honestly, if it wasn't for Terry, I'd be dead.
Okay, Jeet. Thank you very much, although I do like Vanguard. Anyway, I had to testify in court, and that's where I met your father.
Hey, that's great, but look, I'm just trying to have a cup of coffee here.
What if I were to tell you, little Reitman, that I have something in my bag that will change your life forever and in innumerable mind-blowing ways?
Buddy, I already have a dealer.
Is it Marco?
Who?
Marco the... Never mind. What if I were to tell you that hair could not only be sentient, but also wrathful? What if I were to tell you that I have written a script about sentient hair that is so revolutionary that it will one day inspire a whole legion of young filmmakers? What if I told you that said script can only be directed by you, Jason Reitman?
Does it have pathos?
Absolutely it does.
Is it a movie that promises laughter but only delivers sadness with no commitment of any conclusion?
I can add that. I'm happy to do some rewrites.
Does it include twee ukulele music?
I've actually composed the score. I have a cassette tape of that here somewhere.
Does it contain countless shots of anti-heroes staring into the abyss from behind?
Listen, it's called The Haunting of Emily's Hair, and it is a masterpiece.
Look, listen, I can't take
please,
this.
Please, please, Mr. Reitman, please. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me. My whole life has led to this moment.
Okay, all right, just,
can you please
just
take a look
relax,
at this?
Look,
look at this, please.
Okay, look, if it calms you down, just I'll take your script.
Here you are.
Jesus, that's robust.
All the best ones are.
All right, well, look, I will be sure to give this a read, Jerry.
Terry?
It's been a pleasure. You are delightful, and I wish you the best.
It's properly formatted.
Yeah, hey, I'll see you later.
It's in Comic Sans font.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
To lighten it up, because it's very dark. Do you know who that was, Jeet?
Yeah, no, we've been through this.
That was the steward of my destiny.
Needless to say, after the meeting with the junior Reitman, I was filled with a lust for life, a throbbing of desire, fulfilled. The kind of feeling I would have felt with Dr. Lizzie were she not such a prickly pear. You see, Emily's hair was a very personal project. I wrote it while I was indisposed. Okay, now I know that sounds like I was on the toilet the whole time I wrote a screenplay. You write a movie on the toilet and you end up with Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, am I right? Let me try that again. When I wrote the script, I was indisposed in a mental hospital. Ironically, the script is the sanest thing anyone has ever written at that particular mental hospital, including the pamphlets, which had numerous grammatical errors and erroneously claimed that sunshine and time spent with family are essential to good health. The Haunting of Emily's Hair tells the story of 18 to 25-year-old Emily Richstaff, attractive, in shape, who, after getting her hair cut during a freak electrical storm / earthquake / full moon / 200th anniversary of her town's mass lobotomy, realizes she's being tormented by her now sentient and extremely vengeful hair. Soon Emily's hair starts doing things, bad things. Anyway, I don't want to give it all away, but rest assured, there is a scene where Emily's hair uses perming chemicals to kill her high school rival and winner of best hair in the yearbook.
Anxious to hear from Jason Reitman and to learn the fate of my future in filmmaking, I was rather distracted at my now seemingly dull job of hosting my radio show.
Well, Herman, thanks for your call, and I guess if you do think your pipes have been possessed by the spirit of that dead pageant girl, then, well, I would call a plumber. I don't know. I guess. Honestly, I wasn't really listening. I wasn't paying attention. I was mostly playing Best Fiends on my phone again. It's such a fun game. Way more fun than listening to my 10 zillionth freaking call about a ghost. Do you want to know what a really cool supernatural creature is? Howie the Lizard, I just discovered on the Green Glades level of Best Fiends. Seriously, very cool game. Free to download on the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Best Fiends. Oh, it really holds my interest. Unlike your call. Okay, you're listening to Dark Air with Blue Bitty Blah Blue Blah. We'll be back after the blue, 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 blue short break.
Oh, that was a great segment, Terry.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Terry, there's a call for you on one.
Oh, okay. Hello?
Hi, is that Terry Carnation?
Yes, this is he.
Hey, this is Jason Reitman's assistant.
Well, hello. Jason Reitman's assistant.
Free tomorrow at 2?
Yes, I can definitely make that. Thank you so much. Should I wear a tie? Forgive me, that's not your job. What about a mock turtleneck? Hello? Is it? Oh my God, this is it. Jason read my script and wants to meet. I am going to hold the most lauded position in Hollywood. Screenwriter. Jeet, get me a typewriter.
I don't know if we have, hold on.
Al, get in here. What's going on? Aren't you on the air in 60 seconds?
I have a laptop.
Al, I am on the verge of a major career change, that being from underappreciated, albeit genius radio host, to appropriately appreciated writer of teleplays.
Teleplays?
Yes, teleplays. And so, it is upon this occasion that I am giving you, Al and KSB, my formal 2 weeks' notice. I resign, Terry Carnation.
What?
Oh, right. Add a sincerely before my name.
Isn't this a little premature, Terry?
What are you talking about, Terry?
Cheat. Al didn't understand my resignation. Hand him the laptop.
I don't need the laptop. I just don't... You know, you just started back.
Oh, yeah, no, he's right. Terry, whoops. 5 seconds to air, Terry.
Sorry, Al. Have to get back to my last show.
You said 2 weeks.
In 3, 2...
Well, 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 Dark Air with Terry Carnation audience, it's your old pal, Terry Carnation, and have I got an announcement for you. Listeners, this is my last show. Now, I know I left once before under mysterious circumstances, and that wasn't fair to do to you, my slavishly loyal fans, so I will tell you exactly why I'm leaving this time.
Terry, this is on the air.
It is because Hollywood has called, and I have not let it go to voicemail. Actually, I haven't enabled my voicemail, never set it up. But, breaking news before you read it in the trades, genius director Ivan Reitman had a son named Jason Reitman who wants nothing more than to direct my original screenplay, and so I must bid my day job, as it were, it's actually a night job, adieu. And because I have movies on the brain right now, and because, frankly, audience, you've been boring me. Let's wipe out all the calls on hold right now. Cheat, wipe them all out.
Oh.
Dedicate the rest of today's show to the discussion of movies. Let's all go to the lobby. Give us a call, movie lovers and movie buffs. We have on the line, we have Michelle. Michelle is saying ghosts are racist? What?
No.
Michelle.
Listen. I'm just saying, have you ever seen a black ghost on TV or in the movies? I mean, all these ghosts are white. And I know for a fact that my aunt, Donna, she is a black ghost. A proud black ghost. I mean, I didn't know white supremacy existed in the afterlife, and I have some problems with that.
I see. Yeah, that is true. Casper couldn't get any whiter. Certainly, that is absolutely true.
You know, Casper is just a part of the deconstruction of owning that the afterlife is only for white people.
Mm.
Last time I checked, we all died.
Mm.
Where's my black Casper?
So you're saying systemic racism may be bleeding through all the way into the next world?
And I have a problem with that, because when I'm a ghost, I'm going to overthrow it all. You know, I just want to see, why can't we have more ghost representation? My Aunt Donna said she can cross through once she knows that black ghosts are being portrayed positively in the media. We're all not just, like, drug dealers or best friends, that we have our own agency, three-dimensional characters, but in, like, ghost form.
I mean, even maybe in this new Candyman movie, Candyman could be, you know, maybe a doctoral student.
I mean, I would love to see the Candyman be a doctoral student, take care of his kids. That way we're not replicating oppression when we're dead.
Now, talk me through this. I'm in the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. How does a black ghost sit next to me in the little revolving chair?
Like any other ghost? You think black ghosts need to sit in the back of the carriage?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Michelle. I did not mean to.
Where would a black ghost sit? Where would a black ghost?
Well, I'm just, how would you see them? It's
a white ghost with your eyes.
Well, you know what, Michelle? I have been challenged on my own racist viewpoint here, and I thank you for that, because now I am a little bit more woke to the black ghost.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Last time we talked about black ghosts was Ghost Dad, and that was problematic as hell. I need better ghost representation. And get some black ghost women.
Indeed. And for those children listening, especially children of the white suburban families, perhaps this Halloween, when your child wants to dress up as some kind of spectral figure and go collect candy, why not suggest to them a black sheet over their head instead of a white sheet?
I just want to flag all white kids wearing white sheets are frightening.
That's true. I hadn't even put that together. Some might accuse Casper himself of being a member of the KKK.
And here's the reality. We don't know. Casper came up in different times.
The first emergence of Casper actually was post-Civil War, and then again at the turn of the century, and then again post-World War II in the late 40s. So actually the arrival of Casper corresponds with the rise of the KKK. Wonder if there's another rise of Casper in the last 5 years.
You know, I've seen a lot of Caspers out there, if you know what I mean.
I do. It's a sad state of affairs. Thank you for bringing a little bit of wokeness to Dark Air. Well, how about that? Casper, the not-so-friendly, possibly white supremacist ghost. You learn something new every day here on Dark Air. And this new sponsor wants you to learn something new about your dog. Embark, the breed and health kit. Learn about your pup's breed, ancestry, health, traits, and even find your dog's relatives. Embark detects over 350 breeds and screens for 200-plus genetic health risks, so you can better know your pup. My friend Kim, well, she did an Embark test on her 100% Vizsla and found out it was 30% St. Bernard. I kid you not. Something naughty was going on there. So check out Embark, your dog decoded. Here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to go to embarkvet.com and use the promo code DARK to save $50 today. Embarkvet.com. Use the promo code DARK to save $50. Learn your dog's inner secrets with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test right now. Embark has an offer on their breed and health kit for our listeners. Go to embarkvet.com to get free shipping and save $50 off your Embark breed and health kit with promo code DARK. Steve, you're on the air special movie edition of Dark Air, maybe my final show. What do you got?
No, say it ain't so, Terry, man. I've been a big fan. I was a fan before you even started.
How was that possible?
Just because I remember when you lived in Reseda and I would see, you know, I would come to the store and everything and I'd see you and I would watch you drive home or whatever and watch you get out of your car and go in your house or whatever. So I was a fan back then.
You knew where I lived in
Reseda? This is feeling.
Well, because I would go to the store. I'd go to the video store. I'd see you, and then I would drive you home, and I would see you go to Supercuts or whatever, and then I'd be like, oh, he goes to Supercuts. I go to Supercuts, and then I would just like, I would follow you home just to make sure you got home safely, and then I would watch you get into your out of your car and into your house, and then I would just like guard your house, whatever. Anyway, I've been a big fan, like, forever as a guard of your house and of you.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's what's important is you're a fan. So what do you have for me?
I have a movie recommendation.
Thank you for protecting me, by the
way. My pleasure, Terry.
I'll
be honest. I always thought you would have a better place, like a nicer place.
This was before I got this gig, Steve. Remember what we're talking about here.
Yeah, no, that's going back. You know, way back.
That was 27 years ago.
Do you still have that kid?
No. I don't want to. All right. I
got a movie rec for all the fans.
What kind of movie? What is it?
There's a horror movie.
What are we talking?
Horror movie.
Horror movie. Okay.
Horror movie
recommendation from Steve from Reseda. What do you got? What is it?
It's a movie about a guy. He comes like from the north, and he's like dressed all in green. He's like a Northman from the green.
Like a Norse warrior, or kind of
a spectral. He's like a guy. He's in
like
green.
A demon. Mm-hmm. Like a tree sprite.
I mean, I guess. Because he's in green and he's in like spooky, like creepy ass tights or whatever, like and shoes mm-hmm, that are mm-hmm. like pointy, like
he's a troll. He's probably a troll. Anyways, this troll comes down from the north, and what is he?
Well, so
he
goes to New York and he finds this guy, and he's like, "You're my dad," and so he's like comes to New York and he's like, "You're my sweet." You're like my sweet, sweet daddy.
No, wait a second. Is in this movie
I've come to you to my strong
Steve,
daddy. Yeah.
Is the father dressed in red?
No, that's the thing. He's dressed in like a coat and he's like a business guy. And he always comes to this guy and he's like, "You're my dad." The red guy is like a demon. That's from the ending. He's like a demon. Like a bearded demon with like these eight like hellhounds, and they sort of like streak across the sky at the end.
Steve, I think you're talking about the movie Elf with Will Ferrell.
Yes, from the hell elf.
No, this
from New York.
Steve. Steve, it's not a horror film. That's a comedy. That's a beloved holiday comedy.
No, because he's like obsessed with his dad. He's always like, "Daddy, you're my daddy. I want to be so close to my daddy."
I need you to listen to me carefully. You don't know where I live currently, right? That was back in the day.
No, I was happy for you after the move. The new place looks great, and your gutters are clean as a whistle. Just heads up.
Thank you, Steve.
By the way, you should get that gate unstuck. It is a pain in the ass for everyone coming and going. And by the way, your mail is pretty vulnerable.
Steve, thank you so much for your call.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Terry. And listen, don't go, man. Don't go Hollywood. They will tear you up, spit you out, and then shove you up their own ass again.
Take a deep breath. You're in Dark Air with Terry Carnation.
Ladies and gentlemen, those who breathe in my dark air, if you know anything about me, well, then you know that I love me undies. And guess what? Summer is coming, and for many of us, it's the summer of discomfort. It's hot out, and if you could sit around in just your underwear, you know you would. So MeUndies, well, they want to make this the summer of comfort. They want you to sit around in your underwear. I wonder if they could have Terry Carnation underwear with my face on the front. So get comfortable, folks. Express yourself this summer with MeUndies in classic, bold colors and fun, adventurous prints. Here's what's fun about MeUndies. It makes it easy to match. You can match your bottom half to your better half, or halves. Get it? I have a tiny Terry Carnation doll that someone made me long ago, and I made him a little leopard print MeUndies, and I wear my leopard print MeUndies, and we sit around and listen to the ball game together. So MeUndies can help you find matching pairs in a style and color or print that's right for you and your boo. Okay. Now, here's the offer. For any first-time purchases, you get 15% off and free shipping. And we know that MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. So if you're not satisfied, send it back. That's it. 15% off your first order and free shipping. Go to MeUndies.com/dark. That's MeUndies.com/dark. That's MeUndies.com/, what is it? Dark. Hooray for Hollywood, Hollywood, Hollywood edition, Dark Air. Caller, what have you got?
Hi, my name is Samantha. How are you, Terry?
I'm very good, Samantha, thank you.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. Terry, I was wondering, have you ever, like, heard of summer camps, but for adults? Like people over the age of 22.
No, that's an interesting business proposition. Summer camps for adults. That's.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to be a part of it. I love pottery, making a nice god's eye, some macrame, some archery.
Yeah.
Sign me up, Samantha.
Totally. But like, it's not just like about that. It's do you ever see the movie Midsommar?
Midsommar, a recent contemporary classic. Of course, I've seen Midsommar.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, like, those people really had each other's backs in this, like, beautiful and truthful way.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't know, I feel like we could all come together and do something like that, where you just feel really, like, held and supported.
Mm. Yeah, supportive community in nature.
And especially, like, up in Scandinavia. Oh, my God. It is, like, so beautiful up there.
But I have to say, now, there are some darker aspects to the movie Midsommar. How do you account for that?
Like what? What do you mean?
Well, there's a test upon the ritual throwing of old people off of a cliff.
Oh, yes. Atestupa. That's right. Oh, my God. That was, like, so beautiful.
Okay. Interesting. And what about the ritual sacrifice of virgins?
Well, I mean,
what about the ritual drugging?
I mean, all the ritual drugging, it's just like Coachella, only without the bad music and sand.
You know, when you put it that way, that it makes it sound a little more appetizing. Yes.
Yeah.
That would be fascinating to find such a community. If any of our listeners know of any ritualistic ancient communities in the northern climes of Scandinavia, perhaps.
It could even be in Canada, like northern Canada.
Hmm. Maybe that's your calling, Samantha, to start a midsummer-type community in the Yukon.
Oh, my gosh, Terry, that is such a good idea. And I know a bunch of people who have money who might, like, want to chip in and get in on the ground floor. Do you know a drug supplier, though?
I don't believe there are drugs in Canada, now that you mention it. So that would be a little bit of an issue. Nor are there virgins. Samantha, thank you so much for your call. You're on the air, caller. What's your name and your favorite movie?
My name's Terry. And my favorite movie hasn't been made yet in your timeline.
Terry, huh? That's a coinkydink.
Not really, no. I'm the future. You.
Oh, okay. Spooky. Well, if you're me, what's my social security number?
Oh, no, young Terry. I'm not going to fall for the old announce your social security number on live air again.
Fine. Then what can you tell me about myself that only I would know?
Your left testicle is nearly twice the size of your right.
Oh, please. Anyone who'd seen my 2003 art film would know that.
But not everyone knows that testicle will further triple in size until it dwarfs your penis.
Okay, you know what? I have had it with you nutjobs. That's it. I'm calling it.
Oh, wait.
This is it.
Terry, I have something to tell you. I have important news.
Goodbye. This is Terry Carnation signing off from Dark Air with Terry Carnation for the final time.
What is happening? Do not worry, though, folks. We have this under control. Terry will be back
from the bathroom, I think. You know, don't worry about it. You're in good hands. Wet, nervous, but good hands. Let's talk scary things. I'll start. I'm terrified that I might lose my job. So caller number one, why don't you start speaking right now so I can stop?
And so it was with a newfound leash on life that... Wait. No, that's not right. That would be the opposite. A leash is confining. Yes. A newfound lease on life that I walked into my meeting with none other than Ivan Reitman's son. Ooh, look at these offices. Swanky.
Yeah, they're not bad, right? Not bad at all.
Hello, how are you? I'm Terry Carnation.
Hi, Terry. I'm Jason's assistant. How you doing?
Well, thank you.
Can I get you anything to drink?
Yes, actually, I'm parched. What do you have?
We have flat water, Perrier, Coke, Diet Coke, iced tea, pomegranate iced tea.
Do you have Diet Dr. Pepper?
Hey, Terry!
Jason. Can I call you Jason?
Yeah, of course.
I was just deciding on a beverage.
Oh, we have a fuck of a beverage down. You know we offer more drinks than Michael Bay. Hey, Tyler, can I get a pineapple juice?
Yeah, sure thing. No problem.
Whoa, wait a minute. I didn't know there were juices.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We have apple juice, orange juice, pineapple juice, cranberry juice. We have coconut water with caffeine, coconut water with CBD, coconut water with caffeine and CBD.
I'll have that last thing that you said.
Oh, coconut water with caffeine and CBD?
Sure, yes, whatever, fine.
Genius choice.
All right, I'll be right back.
Look, so, Terry, thanks for coming in on such short notice. I mean, it's kind of fortuitous that you and I met the way that we did. Oh, here comes my partner, Alex.
Oh, the man, the myth, the legend, Terry Carnation.
Hello.
There you are.
In the flesh.
Yes, interesting choice of words. Flesh, you're very fleshy. Very gorgeous flesh. I cannot believe the writer of The Haunting of Emily's Hair is in our office. I gotta whisper, I'm so excited.
I know, it's amazing, right? Like, you could feel the room change, right?
I feel the energy right now. History is being made.
I know, we should be filming. Hey, Alex, grab your phone. Just start filming.
Yeah, I'm rolling.
Well, I'm so very glad that you enjoyed it that much.
I'm sorry, enjoyed it? Okay. I could not put it down.
Look, while I got you on tape, where did this idea come from?
Oh, actually, Jason, it's based on a true story.
Oh, of course it is.
I love it.
In Lansing, Michigan, well, it's had to have been the late 70s, a young woman became convinced that her hair was possessed and telling her to kill people.
Of course, you took that, ran with it, making it like she was really possessed. Amazing.
No, in the real story, too, she was possessed. I mean, she actually was possessed. They couldn't prove it in court, but all signs pointed to supernatural interference.
The signs! Oh, God, this guy is the greatest!
I know, I told you, right? Look, I just want to read this part. It's my favorite.
Oh, please.
Here it is.
I think I know what it is.
Emily, if you cannot control your hair, we'll just have no choice but to... Just then, Emily jerks her head in such a way that her hair forms a whip, and she whips the nun over and over until she bleeds from the wrist, and the nun's like, it's the sign of the stigmata, get thee to hell, girl. And then Emily, as she continues to whip the nun, sorry, I guess I'm just, looks to camera, having
a bad hair day.
Wait a minute. What's going on here? Why are you filming? Are you mocking my script?
Whoa, buddy.
You don't want to make my script, do you? Okay, you know what? That's fine.
Terry,
I will take it elsewhere. As soon as I get my coconut water with caffeine and CBD,
wait, Terry, just hold on a second, all right?
Holding.
I don't mean to offend you. We do want to make your movie.
You do?
Yes. And we were mocking it.
Well.
Look, one of the greatest things that's happened to me this year is the moment that you and I met in that coffee shop. And look, I wasn't clear at first. I didn't recognize genius as it was standing in front of me.
As it was towering over you.
What we're talking about is making The Haunting of Emily's Hair, but as a comedy.
What?
It's
meta, you know? It's like John Waters directed Troll 2.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, think maybe like a behind the scenes, kind of like a mockumentary. I mean, you'd be basically the star of that, right? You know?
Oh, I'm confused. I don't understand.
Look, I'm talking about not the movie, but like the movie about the movie. It's like we made The Room, but then we also made the mockumentary about The Room.
No! The Haunting of Emily's Hair is a masterpiece. It is a standalone masterpiece. It is the Rosemary's Baby of 2021.
Oh, Alex, I love it. He's like always in character. This is amazing. Are you filming this? Are you getting this?
I'm always filming.
This is
By
perfect.
By the way, I have not signed a release.
Hey, Terry, let's just do this one more time. And this time, maybe like really yell at me like you're pissed at me.
I will not be directed. This is nonsense.
Come on.
You're disrespecting my script.
God, you're pissed.
Terry, look. You're going to have a movie that is available for streaming.
You know, maybe.
Give me the script back, Alex. How dare you? How dare you? I poured blood, sweat, tears, mucus, semen into the script.
Ooh.
I was wondering what the smudges were.
Yeah.
I was speaking metaphorically, you Hollywood monkeys. You don't understand art. You wouldn't understand art if it kicked you in the balls.
Ah, say that again.
Cut, turn that off.
Oh my God, this is the mockumentary.
You're both idiots. I bid you adieu, assholes. Where the fuck is my coconut water with caffeine and CBD?
Do you think he knows he's a genius?
And so, like many a would-be ingenue fresh off the boat from Duluth, Minnesota before me, I was splooged in the face by the cynical, abusive, shallow, corrupt patriarchy that is show business. Why, Terry, you might ask yourself, why not just let them make the movie the way they want it and cash in? Why? Because if there's one thing Terry Carnation has, it's his dignity.
Please. Ow. Please, can I have my job back? Please, I'm begging you. Please, pretty, please.
Oh, Terry, I just want to remind you that I did tell you that you were jumping the gun.
Not now, Jeet.
So what do you say, Al? Please, for old time's sake.
I've known you for 9 weeks.
But it feels like 30, doesn't it?
In some ways, yes.
Come on, Al, you know he's the best at what he does.
He's the only one at what he does. Okay, who else would host such a lunatic show? But your ratings have gone up, especially after the whole Dr. Lizzie's kidnapping.
Oh, yeah, and she and Terry slept together, so, you know, drama.
Cheat.
Woof. And I'm not sure on whose behalf I'm saying that. Fine. Only because Lizzie's off in 2 minutes, and I've got nobody else.
Thank you, Al. You won't regret it. Highest ratings ever coming your way. It's so nice to truly be appreciated by one's peers.
All right, I'm going to go gargle.
Anyway, once again, dear listeners, I'm really terribly, awfully, horribly sorry. And I won't, I promise, up and leave you again. Promise, scout's honor, pinky swear. For real, you have my word. Okay, let's take some calls. T from Tustin, you're on the air.
Hey there. It's me, Future Terry.
Oh, no. I'm not doing this again. Hang up on him, G.
Oh, but Future Terry's a big hit on social media. Everyone's talking about it. Almost as much as they're talking about your douchey move of quitting the show and how you must be back because the movie thing failed spectacularly. Their words, not mine.
Fine. Okay. What do you want, Future Terry?
It's not what I want. It's what you want. Thought you might want to know where your wife is.
What are you talking about, you sick son of a bitch? Where is she? Where is she? Do you have her? Huh? Tell me.
I can't actually tell you where she is, as that would break the protocol of future interference. But I can tell you who does know. Annabelle. She saw everything.
Annabelle. Of course. Annabelle. Why didn't I think of her? Oh. This changes everything. Wow. Man, I could really go for some caffeinated CBD coconut water.
Dark Air with Terry Carnation was created by Rainn Wilson and Aaron Lee and is produced by Tom Harp and Chris Kelly. Starring Rainn Wilson as Terry Carnation, Karin Soni as Jeet, Al Madrigal as Al, Yvette Nicole Brown as Dr. Lizzie, Aaron Lee as Dr. Kesden, and Jennifer McLean as Veronica. Dark Air with Terry Carnation is brought to you by Imperial Mammoth, Audio Boom, and Kelly & Kelly. Theme songs composed by Marcus Mosscat. For a full list of credits, head to terrycarnation.com/credits.